Well, you guys, hope you're doing well. I know it has been a little bit since I recorded, but we are on number 8 as we're going through the Gospel of Luke and kind of seeing some insights as we're traversing along. And it's been pretty awesome just to be in the Gospel. Like, I've been teaching a lot of the letters of Paul at church, and we're going through Genesis, and now we're to Exodus. And midweek study, and it's so refreshing to, as I'm going through my devotion time, be in the Gospel of Luke. And it's just being in the Gospel. It's like, you don't want to spend too long out of the Gospel, right? Because, I mean, really, it's all about Jesus, like the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. It's about the Messiah. It's about Jehovah. It's about Yahweh. It's about Jesus, right? And so, being in the Gospel, one of the Gospels, is just been incredibly refreshing just for me personally, and I hope it's been encouraging for you guys, but just being in the Word of God is so revitalizing, if you will. And last time we looked at John the Baptist, you know, how he came on the scene repenting. And this time I kind of just want to look at when Jesus came on the scene, right? Because John the Baptist prepared the way for Jesus to come on the scene. And part that really, I guess, opened my eyes and struck me was when Jesus came on the scene. He came on the scene to get baptized. Everything that Jesus did, right, the actions that he took, it was all done as an example to us. Or for us, I'm sorry, for us. You think, why would Jesus even need to be baptized? Well, an example for us. Like, we should get baptized. Why? Well, not to save. Not for salvation, obviously. But it's an outward proclamation of an inward transformation. Right? And so here's the thing. Jesus came on the scene to get baptized. And I'm just going to read you the scripture that really, it's just a powerful thing. Powerful verses. Verses 21 and 22 of Luke 3 says, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. Wow. You guys, this whole scene, isn't this powerful? I mean, here we have the Trinity, like right here, right? The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus is in the Jordan. The Holy Spirit descends onto Jesus, the form of a dove, and the Father's voice is heard. And it's just amazing. And it's beautiful, and it's powerful. And I love the words of Jesus. This is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Right? I am pleased with my Son. And so he comes on the scene, Jesus does, like, in power. See God's power. See the Holy Spirit's power. And we see that as Jesus set his omni attributes aside, as he lived 100% human and 100% God, he was empowered by the Spirit at this very moment. And John the Baptist, his whole life, as was prophesied even before he was born, was to prepare the way for Jesus to come on the scene. And now here Jesus was, just like he said. And this is all prophecy fulfilled, right? I mean, God is a God that fulfills promises, period. And that's exactly what is happening at this moment, this powerful moment, where we hear the Father, we see the Son, and the Holy Spirit is on the scene. I mean, this just, it blows me away. Blows me away. And one of the things I just want to note, you guys, is that after Jesus was filled with the Spirit, after this powerful moment happened, what was he led into? Revival? Salvation of thousands of souls? No. He was led into the desert, the wilderness. To be what? To be tempted by the devil. There are many applications for this portion of scripture, you guys, but one of the biggest applications I take and I see is that this is what happens. God empowers us to be equipped for the ministry that he has for us. And then, that's when the devil's right there to try to take you down. To try to make you question God's calling. To try to make you give in to temptation in order to fulfill the flesh. When the spirit is working, that's when the flesh is like, I'm right here. That's when the devil's like, I'm going to take you down. That's when the world influences you even more. And it's just crazy. So when you're filled up with the Spirit, when you're ready to go, when you're ready to do ministry, that is precisely the time that you may be attacked the most. And honestly, just thinking about it, you guys, through the years, like anytime my wife and I got together, we're about to do something, you know, for the youth, or you know, she's about to do something, a big conference for the women where, you know, God was going to do a great work. There'd always be battles right before. There'd always be battles right before a big work of God was going to happen. All the time. That's why I would just practically recommend this, you guys. If you're about to be used by God, or you know that he wants to use your life in a certain way, and to you it's like, wow, this is like a big thing. I'm going to pray up. I'm going to ask God to give me the strength and the power and the wisdom and the discernment. And you're just like praying up. Make sure you also pray against the enemy. Because when God enables, that's when the enemy looks for any kind of hole in the armor. Any sort of crack in the door where you can get a foothold. That's when the enemy goes, okay, no, this is not, I don't want this God stuff happening. I don't want this revival. I don't want this soul say. I don't want, you know, like he is waiting for an opportunity to discourage you and take you down and stop God's calling on your life in this season. And so, pray for God to do all these things, but also pray against the enemy, that the Lord would keep him at bay. Jesus was baptized and led into the wilderness to be tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. It wasn't just Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, it fell upon him, and then he just went out and did great, amazing things all the time. No, there was a period of temptation. And Jesus used God's word to resist that temptation, which, of course, it worked. I don't know, guys. There's a lot in here. Like, we want to talk about a whole bunch of different aspects of it. In the Gospel of Luke actually keeps it pretty brief, but other things he sort of gives even more insight to, more than the rest of the Gospels. But I just don't know. This is just a powerful, just God-led moment, and to remind us that Jesus is the chosen one. He's the Son of God. God in the flesh. And he'd be used in mighty ways. He's our example, even as he said in the upper room. And so as we look at the life of Jesus, it's like, you remember those bracelets? What would Jesus do? WWJD. And it's like, that's a great question to ask, because there are a lot of decisions that we have to make in this life. We want to make sure they're God-led decisions. We want to make sure that those decisions are led by the Spirit, not by the flesh. Right? We can't glorify God and also feed the flesh. It's can't do both. So the Spirit fell upon Jesus and empowered him. So the Holy Spirit falls upon us to empower us to fulfill the calling that he has for us, for you, for me. And just be aware, because you know what? When that happens, you're going to be tempted. You're going to be tempted to give up. You're going to be tempted to trade God's amazing and beautiful calling for your life for something temporary. Whereas God wants us to live for the permanent, which is the eternal, not the earthly. It's just a beautiful picture here, you guys. And I hope something in there encouraged you. And I hope you have a blessed rest of the day. And I'll talk to you next time.